Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
The New Jersey / Brooklyn / New York, they've been everywhere over the years in the tri-state area, feeling blue. Welcome in the beginning of yet another week of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we bloviate the overnight hours away, emanating live from deep inside the Magic Radio Box. Hope all is well with you. We are back at it again, and a full weekend of NBA playoff activity. Bad news for the Trolls, not a lot of red meat for you. The Clippers won. I know you guys love when the Clippers lose. You wait for it. You look forward to it with bated breath. That didn't happen. But we're not going to start here. I could come in here and be some kind of hack and do a Clipper monologue. I'm not going to do that. It's old news. That's on Saturday. And the Clippers will win again coming up here, and then it'll be even up. And then, don't worry, I will not avoid that story. I will do the full monologue treatment. But our lead this hour coming from the NBA. But we're going to start in the Eastern Conference. I think that's the story here. The Nets, everyone's pick, anybody who's anybody, taking Brooklyn to get to the NBA Finals. The Nets looking to take a chokehold, a 3-1 lead over the Bucks in the Eastern Conference semifinals. And all they had to do was win a game Sunday afternoon in the land of the cheese curds. And how did that turn out? If you watched it, if you had stuff going on, maybe you missed it. Maybe you saw the score in passing. Maybe you didn't. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 34 points, 12 rebounds, and the Bucks storming from 11 points down to win the game 107-96, and presto, just like that, the Bucks, who were roadkill, literally, they were down, they lost a game that they trailed at one point by almost 50 points in Brooklyn. They weren't even trying in that particular game, and here we are squared up 2-2. But as is often the case, the better story is in the losing locker room. Specifically, don't bury the lead, my man. Don't bury the lead. Specifically, the performance of one Kyrie Irving. That's the headliner right there. Kyrie Irving goes down. Down goes Kyrie. And down go the Nets. And Kyrie Irving playing 17 minutes and 17 seconds of game action. He had 11 points and 5 total rebounds, couple of assists, a foul, a steal, and 2 turnovers, and see ya. Out of there. Now, the play that Kyrie got injured on, it was involving Antetokounmpo, who moved towards Kyrie Irving, the Nets guard, was going up, trying to lay the ball in. This was at the 5:52 mark in the second quarter. If you saw it, you know that it was ugly. These are bad-looking things. I don't like to look at these things. I don't, and we see this in football. You know, this was not a compound fracture, but it was awkward. It was a limb pointing a direction a limb is not supposed to be pointing in, which if you're squeamish, well, that's not what you want. That's not what you want at all. Anyway, so Antetokounmpo moving over, Irving comes down and lands on the foot of the Greek Freak. And he actually does have feet. Even though he plays for the Deer, he does have feet. And so Irving lands on the foot there, and the ankle is twisted horrifically. You can close your eyes and imagine what that looked like. And Irving went down. He goes down on the floor. He's grimace, like he's one of the McDonald's Land characters, Grimace. And he had that. Well, actually, this is worse than Grimace from the McDonald's Land characters. And he was in agony, and not ecstasy. He was in agony, and he pounded the floor in anger. All right, so let us discuss. Are you going to go thumbs up or thumbs down whether or not the Nets can overcome not only the Kyrie Irving injury, but also the James Harden hammy? All right, so I'm going to go two thumbs down on this. I'm going two thumbs down on Brooklyn overcoming this. I've got my thoughts on this. You've got fashion accessories, physicality, and big spoon. And we will combine all of these things together. So, Kyrie Irving's ankle is the only thing worth talking about in this game. People get upset. So why do you talk about the loser so much? That's the story. That's the story here in this particular matchup in particular. And this is going to be the moment that swings the pendulum in this series. Otherwise, we were headed towards a gentleman's sweep where the Nets, they won a couple games in blowout fashion. They came back, go to Wisconsin, they lose a game, then they come back, win the next two. That's a gentleman's sweep, right? You allow the other team to win a game, but you end up winning in five games. That's not what's going to happen. Obviously, now it's 2-2, but the pendulum is in the direction of Milwaukee. And while x-rays were negative, x-rays on Kyrie Irving's right ankle were negative, the belief that he's out for the rest of this series is positive. So even though it was negative, the x-rays, the belief is it's unlikely that Kyrie is going to get out there and play in another game in this series. Now, they'll give him all kinds of drugs, all kinds of goodies, all that stuff, and see what happens. You know, they'll shoot him with some, you know, put some needles in that and rub some goo on it, just like they rub it on the baseballs these days, and get some voodoo. And they'll take Kyrie to the ends of the flat earth to try to find something to fix him. So here's the deal. Listen, Irving was spotted leaving the arena in Milwaukee, and he had some new fashion accessories. And did you see what those fashion accessories were? You didn't? No, they're in vogue on the catwalk. He had crutches and a walking boot as he was leaving the arena. He's a fashionista, that Kyrie Irving. So unless he's putting on an act and the Nets are really selling it and they're really going over the top here, then they are much closer to popping up out of the toaster because they're done right out of the toaster just like that. His ankle was almost parallel to the floor. Just go back to the injury. He was almost parallel to the floor. We're talking about a 90-degree angle here for the ankle. And those that were in the arena, in the gymnasium, thought he had broken it. The initial thought was, he broke it. And he obviously did not break it, at least if we're getting the honest truth here from the x-rays. But even if it's a bruise, a major bruise, if you go to WebMD.com, where I get all my medical information, if you go check that out, then you will see that a bruise, you can be out weeks with a bad bruise, like a really bad bruise. You're going to be out for a long time. All right, now part B of this, some Brooklyn blowhards, they have determined that we need to blame someone for this tough break for Kyrie going down, and they already have figured it out. This happened almost immediately. If you play the blame game, if you're not hurt, who are they pointing the finger at? You know, Kyrie injures his ankle. It happens all the time in basketball. Guys get hurt. On this one, the finger is being squarely pointed at Giannis Antetokounmpo, that he is responsible. It is his fault. They're now saying he's dirty, dirty, dirty. He's a dirty dog, that Antetokounmpo. And I am shaking my head no on this one. I do not believe that Antetokounmpo is dirty. Certainly not because of this play. Now, you could argue there's some other things that have happened over the years and the full body of work. There's something there. But let me tell you why, right? If you watch, and I obviously can't show it to you. We're on an audio platform. We're not on a video platform. But because Antetokounmpo moved towards Irving, and Irving was trying to lay the ball into the basket, because of that movement, people say, well, he's dirty. Keep in mind, though, that there was no foul call. The reason there's this furor directed at the Greek Freak is because of television's Jalen Rose. That's why. If you're watching the TV broadcast, Jalen Rose, I don't know, he used to play, I guess. I don't know. He's on TV for some reason. He wears funny glasses. Anyway, Jalen.
Never heard of him.
Well, you don't watch TV. Jalen Rose complained that the NBA should give him a flagrant foul retroactively. They should, like, retroactively go back and hand him a flagrant foul for not moving out from underneath Kyrie Irving, which is a cardinal sin. a cardinal sin in the NBA. I say that's horse crap is what I say. That's my response to that. It's more of the cotton candy approach of the NBA. And the NBA, and there's something that happened in the Suns game with the Nuggets, with Nikola Jokic being kicked out, where it's just, this is the way the NBA operates. You know, it's a soft league. Well, okay, that the people in charge of the players all complain they don't like it, and then the league does it. They do it because they are at the mercy of the social media algorithms. I'm convinced of that. They are so afraid. They're so afraid. The algorithms are not going to like us. We got to do this, that, and the other thing. But as far as this particular incident, and the reason it's fertilizer, it is not a dirty play. Giannis was getting into position for a potential rebound. It's a hard-nosed basketball play. In the olden days, they just called that rebounding. They just called it rebound. Now, oh my God, I can't believe Giannis is actually trying to get a rebound, just not assuming the basket's going to go in. He's a star. He's a multi-time MVP. What's wrong with him? What's wrong with this guy? And then you think of the physicality, right? Not assuming the ball was going to go into the basket. And now the Greek Freak is being persecuted, again, by the bots and the trolls and the losers. And while it's a tough break for Kyrie Irving, there's no fall guy. Everyone's got to have a fall guy. But when you go up around the rim, there is always a chance. Maybe it's a small chance, but there's always a chance of something like this happening. Always a chance. It's an occupational hazard is what it is when you're a basketball player. It's an occupational hazard. Anytime someone gets injured, the cavalry is activated, and it's time to play the blame game. In this case, nobody to blame. Kills the game. No fun. Not fun to play the blame game when you got no one to blame. Not right. And so that's the fork in the road we're at, and I guess the way to solve this, to have players not get hurt when they go around the basket, would be to outlaw rebounding, which would be a strong position. To say, you cannot box out because there's a chance while you're boxing out, a star player might fall on your foot and injure himself. So therefore, when anytime a player goes up to shoot, you run back the other way, no rebounding. Just let the ball bouncy, bouncy, bouncy out of bounds. Just like that. That's it. There you go. And everyone gets a scoop of ice cream, and everyone's happy. Cookie dough ice cream, and everyone's excited and all that stuff. All right, last word here. So if you're holding a betting slip, if you're holding a betting slip with the Nets on it to win the championship at this point, barring James Harden running back through that door, which does not sound is going to happen, or Kyrie Irving being misdiagnosed with a major bruise situation, sprained ankle, then listen, you're hallucinating if you think you're going to be able to cash that ticket. With both Harden and Irving out, Captain Obvious checking in from parts unknown, Captain Obvious. But if you look at it, for the foreseeable future here, if these guys are out, Kevin Durant, he can get out a giant, and I'm talking a really big spoon. I'm talking a big old spoon, and have some breakfast here, snap, crackle, pop. And he can do that. And he's had this meal before. Remember how it ended with Golden State? Toronto wins in large part because Klay Thompson went belly up. Is Brooklyn going to give up? No, they're not going to give up. That's not going to happen. Of course not. Regardless, the facts, facts are facts. And the Nets were driving down Rodeo Drive. They could buy everything when they had the Three Musketeers of KD, Kyrie, and Harden. They didn't have to show up and play together in the regular season. It didn't matter. As long as they were there for the playoffs, that's all that mattered. Well, they're not there. And somehow, because of this, they've made a wrong turn, and now they're camped out on the hardscrabble streets far away from Rodeo. They're far, far away from Rodeo Drive. And so that's the rub on the Brooklyn Nets at this particular point. Now, if James Harden comes back, this is a different situation, but the Mather scale of panic for Brooklyn right now is at a 9. I am at a 9 in this moment, based on the information I have at this time. I am at a 9 on the Brooklyn Nets.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, if you had the sun setting in the NBA playoffs, well, you are a loser. A loser. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we treat insomnia coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the sweatshop, slaving away over the red-hot microphones in the Fox Sports Radio studios. Hope all is well with you. We're back at it again this hour. Our lead coming from the western side of the NBA postseason bracket. Denver attempting to stave off elimination against the Phoenix Suns. How did that turn out? Well, not good. Not good. I don't know if you saw this or not. It was the late game on the doubleheader action in the NBA. Chris Paul playing like he was back with Lob City, with the Clips. 37 points. Devin Booker, 34. The yin to the yang, and the Suns went scorched earth on the Nuggets. They win it 125-118, and so Phoenix gets out of the broom there. They go down, they get the broom out. They had to go to actually Home Depot and get a new one because they didn't have one. They hadn't had one in so long. They didn't need it at all, but the Suns getting the sweep, and they now await the winner of the Clipper-Jazz matchup in the Western Conference Finals. That is the next event on the schedule. The Suns taking advantage of an injury-depleted Denver squad. And then to make things even better for the Suns, they were able to convince the officials to kick out the reigning MVP. The guy just named the MVP of the NBA, got kicked out of this game. He got kicked for a slap. For a slap. More on that later in the hour. So before we get into the meat of the matter here, let's discuss the story within the story here. Michael Malone, the head coach of the Nuggets, not a happy camper. I guess I should describe before we get into this. A good talker host would describe what happened. So the Suns Nuggets got into it after a hard foul against campaign by Nikola Jokic. The Joker. He got the Joker card. He got kicked out of the game. Now, it's clear that Jokic did swing. He did swing, and he did make contact. But is that something that you kick a headliner out? The NBA hasn't done that. They selectively do this. Like, if that same play had happened, okay, with LeBron James, does LeBron James get kicked out of that game? Would the officials have the balls, the cojones, to eject LeBron James? I say no. I say no way that happens. And in this case, you know, it's one of those you can see if there was a regular run-of-the-mill NBA play, the rules are different. If you don't think the rules are different, the rules are different. The NBA has operated that way for 40 years, at least, where the star player gets a certain tip of the cap. And Jokic, whether you like it or not, because he's a Euro and all that, he's a good player. He's a great player. He's the MVP of the NBA this year. He deserved to be the MVP. Wasn't even close. He was the MVP. But he's not getting the MVP treatment. That's not the MVP treatment to a kick him out. Anyway, Michael Malone went nuts. He was very upset. He was angry. He was annoyed, the whole thing. Here's the coach of the Nuggets after his star player was ejected.
Game 4, an elimination game at home. Before they had determined their decision on the flagrant 2, I had watched a replay myself on one of the coach's computers behind the bench. And I just assumed, and we all know you should never assume, but I assumed it would be a flagrant 1 at the worst. From my vantage point and watching the replay, I did not think it was a non-basketball play with malicious intent. And I just didn't feel like it warranted a flagrant 2 ejection because he's making a play on the ball. There's marginal contact to Cameron Payne's nose, I believe. So I was shocked. I'm still a little bit shocked that they called a flagrant 2 and ejected the MVP on such a play.
Yeah. Well, a couple things here on that. Number one, you got to give campaign credit. He sold it like he had a bowling ball thrown in his nose. Like the way he went down, it looked like somebody had tossed a bowling ball off an overpass on the highway and it landed squarely on his nose while he was driving a Jeep down the highway. I mean, it was insane. I got hit in the nose before, and it sucks, and it kind of rattles you a little bit. But he laid it on pretty thick. I felt like he laid it on. And that's what, I'm not ripping him. That's what you're supposed to do. It's the officials. It's on the officials on that made the determination, in part because of the way that he was laying on the ground, like he was, like the lifeless body of campaign. Come on. Anyway, here's more from the man, the MVP of the NBA, who got ejected. Here is Nikola Jokic there on what happened.
I thought I wanted to change the rhythm of the game. I wanted to give us some energy, maybe to change the whistle a little bit. So I tried to make a hard foul. Did I hit him? Did I hit him? Didn't hit him? We don't know. So I say sorry if I did, because I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't want to injure him or hit him in the head on purpose. So I watched the game in the locker room to cool off a little bit.
I wonder why we don't hear more from Jokic. I don't know what that's all about. Anyway, there's Nikola Jokic, the MVP of the NBA, who got to enjoy the television broadcast. All right, here's more. Let's go back to Michael Malone here. I mentioned LeBron, like the LeBron rule, where that same play happens with LeBron. Does he get kicked out? Of course not. Like LeBron can go to a party with Drake and hang out and not even get fined for it, violating the NBA's COVID protocols, out of an abundance of caution. But if Kristaps Porzingis goes to the ballet, he ends up getting fined. It's the same thing. Anyway, yeah, here is Michael Malone. You'll hear the question and the answer here about LeBron and whether or not how that ties into this.
Do you think LeBron gets ejected in the same situation?
I'm not going to touch the second one. I'll let you write on that.
Yeah. Well, I think that question that was asked, the guy already has his column done. He just has to click send. He just needs to plug a quote in the column. I know how that works. I know I've had buddies that are columnists. You write the column, and then you're like, okay, I need a quote from Malone. And whatever he says, whatever the coach of the Nuggets says, if he says, no, LeBron wouldn't have gotten kicked out, that's obviously preferable. If he says no comment, that's great because you can fill in the blank. Or if he says LeBron would have been kicked out, well, then you've got a good story that way as well. So there's really no way to go.
LeBron James.
That's right. It's 6 degrees of LeBron James. That's right. That's right. LeBron's next game, by the way, against the Goon Squad, coming up in July. That's right. He's getting ready for that. Anyway, all right, let's discuss. I want to go to the Suns here for a little bit. I'm getting a lot of crap for things I've said about Chris Paul, so I need to address that. But are the 2021 Phoenix Suns a great team? They're in the conference finals, or are they a lucky team? And I am saying that Lady Luck is smiling. That is my thought on that, that Lady Luck is smiling there. I've got Shoelace, Feather, and Sappy. And we will lock all of these things together. Now, number one.
Number one.
Good job, bro. Look at that. The jingle, they nailed it. All right, so listen. The Suns are not the type of team that you are intimidated by. All right, so when you think of great team, you think of intimidation. I don't think of that. But Brooklyn, when they've got everyone out there, is an intimidating team. I don't look at the Suns, and I don't think the NBA as a whole, as a league, looks at the Suns and says, oh, man, we don't want to play them. Man, are we screwed. But they have been very fortunate in the postseason. That old phrase, it's often better to be lucky than good, right? So you can have the greatest education in the world. You can go to all the finest universities and have all the diplomas in the world, but if you don't know anybody, you're screwed. You're better off knowing people. In life, you're better off, it's who you know, not what you know. And in this case, it's not necessarily how good you are, it's how fortunate you are. And, well, I believe the Suns would have beaten the Lakers anyway. It was a hell of a lot easier when Anthony Davis crumbled. He went Humpty Dumpty in the opening round. And then the Suns played a Nuggets team that had Nikola Jokic and a bunch of B-squad guys around him. Jamal Murray, remember, he tore his ACL, and that came back to haunt Denver and obviously worked out great. It was a great mitzvah for Phoenix. And with every passing game the Nuggets played, I kept looking back at the Trailblazers. I'm like, how the hell do you lose? If you're Portland, how do you lose to that team? How do you lose in the Nuggets with Jokic and a bunch of nobody? Austin Rivers playing a lot of minutes. It's a charmed life. And it's not a knock on the Suns. There's more than one way to tie a shoelace. I only know one way, but there's more than one way. I understand that when I was learning how to tie shoelaces, it took me a while. I was a little slow. But there's more than one way, and there's one way that I do it. And you can win the title this way. It has been done. It was just done a couple years ago with the Toronto Raptors. We have seen this before. We have seen where, you know, heck, last year, the Miami Heat, right, inside the Fugazi bubble, the Heat fell apart against the Lakers. Their roster fell apart. And so that played out. Now, secondly, Chris Paul. So some past comments that I have made about Chris Paul have popped up here. And Chris had a great series and really was the point god in this series. He was. It was wonderful. It was very impressive. It was a oil painting is what it was for Chris Paul. But the Denver backups had no ability to keep Chris Paul from doing what he wanted. He controlled the series, and congratulations. Broken clock is correct twice a day. I still do not believe that the Clippers made a mistake. You know, people are trying to rewrite history here, and based on past comments, I stand by everything I've said. At the time I made those comments, those were accurate statements. I still believe they're accurate statements. I don't think anything's changed. When the Clippers got rid of CP3, he didn't want to be there. He had a hissy fit. He had a temper tantrum. He wanted out. People seem to forget that. And it is all on the Clippers. And the Clippers made the most of a situation. They got rid of one of their top players in Chris Paul and were able to, on the fly, recreate the roster. It's a different look. But the players that the Clippers got from the Rockets in the Chris Paul trade, it was a lopsided trade in favor of the Clippers. You know, that was back before Montrezl Harrell went rogue and became a bad actor. That was back when he blossomed into the sixth man of the year, and Patrick Beverley and Sweet Lou Williams was a good player for the Clippers, sixth man of the year. So they got a lot in return, and the Clippers sold at the right time. And the proof on that is look how many teams Chris Paul had to go play for before he became a relevant NBA player again. He was irrelevant in Houston. He wasn't the guy in Houston. He was in the shadow, as everyone had been in that time, of James Harden. So he had that, and then he goes to Oklahoma City. He's off the map in Oklahoma City. Nobody pays attention because he's in Oklahoma City. And that team's an afterthought and all that. And so he gets passed around. Essentially, Chris Paul's been tossed around like a feather in the wind, right? I mean, he's blowing all over the place. Rockets, Thunder, you know. And then when he goes to the Suns, remember, when he left the Rockets originally, the owner of the Rockets, that gambling guy, said it was the worst contract in the history of the NBA that they gave Chris Paul, the Mega Max. And all the consensus in the NBA had been, and it right up at this moment, it's been, you know, Chris Paul, declining player. Injury prone, declining player. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to go down that road? And now there's a bunch of, I told you so. I knew all along. He's so good. You're all frauds. None of you were saying any of that until it's after the fact reactionary bullcrap. Okay? So stop. You're a fraud. You're a phony and a fake. I'm sick and tired. I'm not going to be bamboozled and hornswoggled by a bunch of idiots who, after, oh my God, Chris Paul had four good games in a row. Oh my God, he's the greatest thing in the world. Why would anybody say anything bad about him ever? Oh my God. Shut up. You're an idiot. You're dumb. You're a moron. Do you understand? You're a dummy. Anyway, yes, CP3 has been able to put the kibosh on a lot of the negativity. But it doesn't mean that I would pay him ridiculous money or anything like that. He is about as stable as a feather in the wind, would be my point. All right, final thought. So the Suns are going to have plenty of time to pick up rust before the Western Finals. The Clippers-Jazz series is just getting going. That's a dogfight. And the Clippers got a lot of dog. They got a lot of dog. And the Jazz have a lot of cats. So I'll take the Clippers' chances in that. And with Kawhi and PG-13, who woke up, the Great Awakening. That's what I called that game over the weekend, the Great Awakening for the People's team there. Got out of their slumber. And they're in prime position. Boy, I know you don't want to think about this. You're not supposed to think ahead, but I'm not on the team. I can think ahead. Brooklyn. Problems, injuries everywhere. The Suns, Chris Paul, delicate player. waiting you in the Western Final? I mean, the path is opened up, and you want to play Philadelphia. Doc Rivers coach team? Are you kidding me? You want to play a Doc Rivers coach team in a 7-game series with the good players. It's setting up. It's setting up. We're not quite there yet. Clippers got some work to do here. They dug themselves a little bit of a hole. But they certainly have proved they can match in Utah. They had a chance. They had a lead in the fourth quarter in one game. They had a chance to tie the game in game one at the buzzer. So they're in position with the Jazz. And no one's intimidated by the Utah Jazz either, for that matter. The Clips are in good shape. Good shape. You look around the NBA postseason, and we are set up for one of those sappy, made-for-TV movie endings where rags to riches with Harden and Kyrie Irving both on the shelf in Brooklyn, as we said there. And even when they return, should they return, who knows what they'll be able to provide. Will it be soon enough? And you got the Clippers, Jazz, Suns, Sixers, pretty much eliminating the Atlanta Hawks. That's going to be a gentleman's sweep, it would appear, there in that series.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, Koobaloo.
So you briefly alluded to it earlier in the show. Chris Paul has a $44 million player option next season. Now, it's a lot of money, a lot of money. However, it's being reported that he plans to opt out in order to try and secure a long-term deal. Ben, does Phoenix give it to him, or is he heading somewhere else?
Well, they're in the Western Conference Final. Yes! Yes! They shouldn't, but they're going to do it. The Suns are going to pay Chris Paul 3 years and $100 million, and they're going to regret it as soon as the ink dries on the contract. He's going to be a washed-up version of the player he is right now, but that's fine. You know, they got their little Western Conference Final appearance. All right, next.
For the second offseason in a row, Becky Hammond is being considered as a head coaching candidate for multiple teams, according to Shams. Do you think this year is the year that she gets it?
I'll believe it when it happens, right? Now, listen, Portland's a good job with Damian Lillard. The Magic are going to blow. I could see like a team like Orlando just to try to get some excitement going, get some people fired up to bring in a female coach. But I think the best bet for Becky Hammond is the San Antonio Spurs when Popovich finally retires. Next!
So Le'Veon Bell said on like Instagram or something that he would rather retire than play for Andy Reid again.
Yes, why would you want to play for Andy Reid? You're in the playoffs every year. God forbid.
Well, Bell hasn't been good since like 2017, and he's been a headache in multiple locker rooms. Do you think anyone will give him another chance?
I do. He's 29. He's not completely Dunskies, but we'll find out how many friends he has. He had to look at the mirror on the wall to find out who's the problem of them all. All right, there it is. How'd we do?
Cool. You pass.
There it is. That's a winner at the buzzer. Whee!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, you sports figure guy or girl.
Who the hell are you talking to, son?
Here's some instant advice.
Hold that thought. No one's paid attention to me for 10 whole seconds.
And if you don't like it, screw you.
And away we go. It's the Insta Advice Line on screen radio, and we are off to the races. Now, who needs our advice? Who in the world of sports needs our advice? This is where we take someone from the sporting world, a coach, a prominent media member, a player, obviously, somebody in sports that needs our advice. Well, this week, it's kind of obvious if you've been following the NBA. The big story here, the Brooklyn Nets, everyone's favorite to win the championship, and they are in a bad spot. The Milwaukee Bucks, who were down by 49 points in a game last week, are now looking like the team that's going to win this series because of the injury to Kyrie Irving along with James Harden. The double whammy for Brooklyn. So advice to the Brooklyn Nets. Advice to the Brooklyn Nets. You're live on the air when you hear my voice. We'll go to the phones now at 877-99 on Fox. Hello, line one. You're on the air. Hello, line one. Go.
Number one.
Oh, hell,
happy.
I gotta go back.
All right. Yeah, call back. Line two, you're on the air. Hello, line two. Your advice, please. To the Brooklyn.
Baby, you want to hang out with me? You better give me that good stuff.
All right, thank you. I don't know how that person got line two's number. Line three, hello, you're on the air, line three. Advice to the Nets without Kyrie.
Kawhi's a douche. Jazz is five. Woo!
All right, go have another beer. Line four, hello, line four.
Ben, you kind of hefty shamed my good friend Robbie the Mariners fan. How dare you?
No, I love Robbie. Listen, I enjoy hanging out with other fat people because I'm fat. So I like hanging out with other fat people. All right, thank you. I'm not shaming you. He's a good-looking man.
Racist.
He's not my type, but he's a good-looking guy. All right, line five. Hello, line five.
Go get Bella. She's got sticky on her balls.
Oh, look at that angry Bill. A rare and appropriate call from Angry Bill. Where the 9-year-old girl? Line number six. I wonder what happened to him. Line six, hello.
Aaron Rodgers wears baby diapers.
Okay, thank you. What brand? Do we know what brand? All right, Random Line, you're on the air. Hello, Random Line.
Brooklyn, let's go get yourself some Brooklyn Bound, Brooklyn Bound, Brooklyn Bound, Brooklyn Bound, Brooklyn Bound, Brooklyn
Bound. Oh, look at that. Cowboy John Brett on the Random Line.
Where are the white women at?
We're giving advice to the Brooklyn Nets on how to handle life without Kyrie. It looks like he's not going to play anytime soon. And James Harden's got a bad hammy. Hello, Line 1, you're on the air. Hello, Line 1, go.
Yes, the Clippers will always be the laughing stock of L.A., even more than the Chargers. So is that for you, Mr. Garcia?
Okay.
What's wrong with your Clippers?
Go smoke some more weed. Hello, line three. You're on
the
air.
Take that in your pooper and pop it.
Yeah.
I'm Boogie Camaro, and I have nothing better to do at 4:45 on a Monday.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know you're living a great life when you're awake and able to call a sports talk radio show at 4:45 in the morning. Hello. Actually, it's past that now. Hello, you're on the air. Go.
Let's call them the Brooklyn Bengays.
Hey, there you go. That's never got that joke when I was on the playground. All right, line five. Hello, line five.
Happy birthday, Roberto.
Happy birthday, Roberto.
Yeah, it's the new birthday again.
The new Where's My Baseball guy. Random line, you're on the air. Hello.
Bob Welch for the Baseball Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Bob Welch. All right, line number six. Hello.
Yeah, Ben, maybe they should be more like the cheating ass. Beep. Oops, can't say that.
All right, get out of here. I dare you. You're next. Hello, you're on the air. Go. All right, you're not there. We'll hang up on you. Line one, go, line one.
Number one.
They need to make a blood sacrifice to the Illuminati.
Yes, a blood sacrifice is what the Nets need. Great idea. I didn't think of that one. All right, go ahead, Goobaloo. Pick the final call on the instant advice line. Hurry up. Hurry
line
up.
Five.
Line four. Five. Four, you're on the air. Four.
I'm sorry, Jimmy, for my dinner. I love you. Woo!
Oh, no. Is that hollering, James? He was awake. What happened?